from a pastor's perspective. Hey, would anybody, I don't know, I'm going to try not to say your name, but would y'all, I hope I don't hurt you or offend you by sharing some stuff that I have seen over this last year of being your pastor. Amen? And I got scripture to back it up, but I just want you to know that there's some of you in here, I know that it would bother you a little bit. If I lift up and say something about you good, you know, don't magnify what I'm doing, just magnify what God's doing. But I got some scripture for that. So if I say your name, I'm not trying to embarrass you or out you or anything like that. I just believe that God put this on our heart. I had a message about communion because we're doing communion. And I had a message about communion, but God had a different idea. Amen? Have I killed enough time to get you to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1? If I haven't, you can come to this altar right now. I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm going to have fun. If you don't want to have fun, then just sit there and don't have fun. But I'm going to have a little fun with this. Either that or I'm going to cry a lot, okay? Y'all ready? Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Paul was looking at a church that he had planted. And he was saying, do you want me to write you a letter and tell you some stuff about what God was saying? Do you want to write me a letter? But then he says right here, he says, I want you to know this. You are a letter written to me on my heart. Listen, I've been in ministry for a while, and the greatest things in the world, I love the Bible, I love messages, I love when Jesus shows out in His Word, but I love it more when Jesus shows out in His people. And a lot of times we don't even know that He's showing out in our lives, and we think that we're lower or less than, or being beaten, or some kind of defeated, but God's showing out. I don't know about you, but Joy sung a song this morning that I'm actually just about to preach. Did you know, if you don't get what she just sang and how this is connected, amen? God ain't ever left you alone. He ain't left you begging bread. He's not left you empty. And sometimes you feel like you're empty. Sometimes like you feel like you're being defeated. Some of you feel like you're like, I'm not doing anything. But from a perspective of the pastor, from perspective of the under-shepherd, from the perspective of God, you are doing great things. You just don't realize it. Or let me say it this way. The devil gets in your ear and tells you, points out all the negative. And not only the devil, but your what? Your flesh tells you that you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you didn't do enough, and oh, there's so many more people doing better than you. Is that kind of where? Am I somewhere close in the ballpark? Good. Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So what in the world does that mean? It means this. Man, by the letter of the law, we all die. But because the Spirit of God came in us, amen, because Jesus came and dwelt in us, we can now live different lives, successful lives, powerful lives, not because of who we are, but because Christ has moved in us. Nobody does anything great in the church because they're great people. If they do, they're failing. But we do great stuff because Jesus Christ saved us. Amen? Write this down. This is a good note. Love Jesus and do stuff. That's what we do as a church. I hate to tell you, but that's what we're supposed to do. Love Jesus and do stuff. Well, man, that's pretty simple, Kevin. Let's get more detailed. Can't get more detailed than that. If you love Jesus, then you get to doing stuff, you're going to be blown away. Can I give y'all some examples of how y'all are epistles to me? Can I? I need y'all's permission. So even if you're one of them, you're just dead, and just kind of shake your head like this. Or do this. I'm looking. Come on. Are some of y'all alive? I'm going to come check somebody's pulse in a second because you didn't do either one. But can I share some stuff with y'all? Some really cool stuff. Now, if I leave you out, don't get upset. My mind is, I'm like a goldfish. Amen? Some of y'all get that. Jan this morning said, she gave me a name, and I said, you read my mind. And then I thought for a second, I said, man, that's scary. She goes, I know. I said, but don't worry, it'll change in about 5 minutes. That thing you was worried about, it'll be gone, all right? You okay with me? I'm okay with you? Let me share some stuff. Friday night from 7:30 to 8:30, our youth, along with some adults, showed up at an armory down in Dunlap on a Friday night, and our young people packed food for kids across the seas that are starving. And that's not the end of this youth group. Because see, last year I moved to this church as the pastor, kind of willingly, unwillingly, but God was willing and then I got willing. Amen? Betsy, right? Amen? Betsy prayed me into this position. And if anything goes bad or if it's bad, it's her fault. Amen. We're going to have fun. I wouldn't recommend this recording for everybody's consumption, but we're just going to have a good time. Okay? So Betsy played a part because she prayed. She goes, I'm going to pray you into here. I laughed. Thought you're insane. But look who's the insane one. I'm here. Amen? But I want to tell you something. We moved in here about a year ago, and our youth, while they're great and they're doing great work and they're participating and they're a part of it, let me tell you something they did that comes from a father's heart. They welcomed my son. I mean, man, teenage kids, older kids, high school kids, they included him right away. And that means the world to me. That means more than anything else that he was included. The teachers taught him. They loved him. They included him. And you know what? Y'all are doing stuff. There's so many youth groups where we're talking about doing stuff, but you guys do stuff. And he's involved. And that's what I want as a father. I want him to be involved, but I wanted him to be included. And you guys opened your arms. And I sat with the youth on Friday night, and they talked to me. Old pastor, boring goof, you know. And here they are sitting talking with me. So I'm like, man, these are some good kids. I mean, they're sacrificing. Never mind. Y'all get that later. Let's talk about some other groups. Let's talk about our adults in this sanctuary, in this place, in this church. If you don't know this by now, every church is not like this church. This church is a welcoming church, a loving church. And I don't mean that every church will say they're good people, they love people. But listen, you welcome people with no conditions. And that is rare. That is rare. Amen? That is as rare as it can be. Because y'all are genuine. You let people be who they are until they get where God wants them to be. And that's just cool. Can I share? There's a person in here. I don't want to say their name, but I'm kind of torn. But I'll just say, there's a man in here who's 90. Amen? He shows up here. He shows up here on a regular basis during the week, and he's bringing some boxes. And those boxes weigh anywhere from about, you know, 25 to 35 to 40 pounds, somewhere in there, right? He shows up here weekly, you know, periodically with these boxes loaded in his little Ford Ranger. Right? I'm not trying to say his name. And if I'm not here, he loads those boxes himself. But if he does show up when I'm here, I do lend a hand. And I'm only smart enough to do that one job. I can lift stuff and push stuff. And he thanks me for that. But he's 90. And he's feeding people. Man, he's feeding people. He's saying, man, I'll go and I'll pick that up. And I'll help people, and I'll encourage people. And not only does he help the people that are coming by here and getting food, but he's helping people in his community. He tells me about people that, hey, this man wouldn't eat if we weren't doing this. And we're trying to help him. And then, you know, he's got some other people that in his community, he helps them by presenting them a breakfast on a regular basis. He wouldn't want me to stand up here and say this stuff about him. But he blows my doors off. He is a written epistle. He's one of the oldest members of this church. And he's doing work that nobody really knows about. And he won't tell you about it unless you're standing right next to him while he's doing it. And that is awesome. For a pastor to see that going on. Sometimes somebody says, well, share this or say that or do this. Man, just walk it out. I like seeing it. That's amazing. pretty cool, right? We got some widows in this church. And what does that mean when you're a widow? That means your husband has passed away. And a couple of times, not many, because I'm not bragging, I'm just saying a couple of times, they've let me tag along. Amen? And I've seen these women walk into other women's houses that have gone through the exact same thing that they have gone through. Amen? And they open up their hearts. And they sit with these ladies. And they talk with these ladies. One about their physical condition, how they can help them, how they can pray for them, some needs they might have. And then, man, one of the most awesome things you'll ever see as a pastor, they don't just say, hey, I'm out of here. Man, a lot of times they crawl down in the floor and pray with them. And it is awesome to see. It's awesome to see. As a pastor, it's awesome to see. We've got people in this church that are prison ministers. Amen? When they leave here, their churches, their ministry's not here. They get fed here. They get encouraged here. They get here. Guess what? And that ministry's grown by 2-4, I think, since we've been here. 4 people who said, I want to go into the prison and help set the captive free. They go on their own accord. They go, whether we support or don't support, whether we pray or don't pray, they're going in there and they're going to help men see Jesus Christ from the outside inside. A lot of times when they go, they get blessed more than they bless. Y'all can say amen every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt. We got that going on. Amen? We got food ministries. We got prison ministries. We got widows ministries. And then we got some adults here that are radical. We got some radical adults here. You know what they do? They teach kids on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights over here, and they teach them, they love them, they encourage them, and they wade off in their messes and their excitement too. And they take them on real events. But you know what? They're being real with those kids. And they're sharing their testimony, and they're sharing their lives, and they're sharing everything about themselves with these kids, and they're passionate about them. That's what's going on in this church. Many times since I've been here, that bell has rang. That means teachers in Awana have shared the gospel, and kids have said, you know what? I want that. And listen to this, and I'm going to go ahead and plug this while I'm there. You know what they do sometimes when a kid just maybe don't totally understand it? God, I'm preaching. You know what they do? They don't say, you're saved anyway. They say, you keep coming back. We'll keep sharing it. We'll keep loving you. And if you ever decide, we'll be right here. That's big because, see, our Awana and our youth program is about, it is not about numbers. It's about the real deal. It's about real people getting saved. I'm going to get kind of personal here because this has got a little bit to do with me, if y'all don't mind. I know this has been a different kind of service, and we're different. Amen? But you know what? Over a year ago, I was preaching at another church, and a man came. I won't say his name, but he's got a lot of family like back in that corner. Amen? And he came to visit his family at another church that I was preaching at on a Wednesday night. And he walked in there, and he heard me preach. And he come to me after, and he said, you wouldn't mind coming down and preaching at my crazy church? It's totally dysfunctional. We put the fun in dysfunctional. No, he didn't say that. I made that part up. No, but he did. He come to me and he said, hey, would you like to come and maybe we're without a pastor for a little while, but would you like to come and preach for us? I'm going to go back and tell the men, and if they agree to it, would you come? And I told him, I said, listen, I want you to know 2 things. One, I don't want to be your pastor. You tell them that. That didn't do no good. Number 2, I don't dress up a lot, so I'll just come the way I am and preach. So just, is that all right? And it was weird that night. He came on a Wednesday night. One of the rarest things happened. I wore a suit and a tie. And I was like, man, I must have been sending the wrong signal. Amen? And I'm not talking to this about me. I'm telling you this. I did not know it, but Donnie was He was going through a personal valley himself. He was going through a personal valley himself. He was broken. He was hurt himself, but he was still at church. He was still thinking of this church. And he was one of the key links. God was, I believe in kingdom connections. I believe that God connects certain peoples. And God, what He does is He connects them up and is broken as low as He was. And he encouraged me to come down here, and He encouraged y'all to give me an opportunity to come preach. At a time when maybe he was thinking, man, God, where are you? And God was using him. Amen? And then I come, as I talked with him and ministered to him and ministered with him at this church, I realized where he was coming from in the last year and him still worried about the church. And now listen, that was not only seen, I don't like to say it like this, but he's a matriarch. You know that what that is, right? He's the big dad, right? Some of you boys could help me out a little bit, it'd be all right. He's the big dad, right? You know what he said? You know what he showed? Son, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I don't always got it together, but I am concerned about our church. I am concerned with God's work, and I will keep on going. Because one day you might have to keep on going. One day you might have to keep going when you don't feel like going. One day you might have to say, I don't know what's going to happen next year, but one day you might have to get up and keep going when you don't feel like going. Now there's a couple of girls who are watching and saying, we don't understand everything, but he's going. He's going to keep going. Because dad went, grandfather went, my brothers went, my family went, they went. So listen, I'm telling you as a pastor of this church, I'm excited about what's going on here. My people don't have to tell you everything because they're living epistles and they're walking out their faith every single day for 365 days a year. And I'm blown away as your pastor. I'm blown away. And the only way you can do that is if God's in your heart and life. I probably failed to mention many of you that are doing crazy, amazing stuff here. But it hasn't gone unnoticed. I've noticed it as your pastor. And like I said, I'm blown away. You are epistles, letters that are being written right in front of the world. And the only reason you're writing those letters, it's not because you're special people. It's because you said, I know Jesus. So when you're feeding somebody, or when you're taking food, Marcia, down to the hospital, and you're putting out that food for people, and somebody is saying, why are you doing that? Because I was once sitting down here, and there wasn't nothing for me, so I want something for you. Here, I'm doing this because I know Jesus. And you know what? And when you're at the mercy room and you need something, I would like to give it because I needed it. And if I needed it, then you need it. Here it is. It's people like that that's going on and on and on. Can I do one more? Because we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. Can I do one more? And I ain't going to say no name, I promise. I promise this time. I'm going to try to keep it under... If y'all figure out who it is, then you go tell them, whatever. But I seen a man when I first came here, and I still see it, who took a lot of heat for what happened prior to me coming here. Took a lot of heat. He was carrying, a lot of the why things didn't go the way they were supposed to go, or maybe he was the reason for it. But I know that man's got a lot of skin in the game when it comes to this church. Cares about every avenue, everything we do going forward. And all he wants to do is lay down a foundation for this church for the next 15 and 20 years. And he concerned more about it than just about anybody I know, because he tells me on a regular basis, I just want this to be good. And I don't want it to be, I don't want us to look foolish. I don't want us to look crazy. But I want us to save us money. And I also want us to be a great church. And I want to hand something off that's great. And that ain't only the good part. You know what he does? Every single time, I notice this as his pastor, as he comes up here, and if you ask him to pray, you know what he does? He gets broken in his heart, because when he prays, he's serious, because he loves the people of this church, and he loves God, and he loves to do. And it blows me away. Man, I could do a couple more, but you guys are awesome. I'm going to be honest with you. We're not always going to come in here, and I'm not always going to tell you how awesome you are. But I'm going to tell you, for a young, I'm not young, but young in the pastorship, I want to tell you, you've blessed me this year, and I thank you. All right. At this time, I want to ask all the councilmen, if you will, please come up here and just stand in front. I'm going to read. First Corinthians 11, verse 26. Just y'all can two on this side, two on this side. What we're going to do is we're going to do the Lord's Supper, so we'll just get a couple more on this side, it'll be fine. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as you do, as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eat and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. I want y'all to kind of understand this. We're about to take the Lord's Supper. And this is written for us as the church to know this. If you're not saved and you take this Lord's Supper, you're taking condemnation of themselves. The other part of it is, what makes me worthy to take this? Am I a better person because I get to take the Lord's? No, it means you're saved. And you're under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, Jesus says, do this in the remembrance of my death, not my birth. Jesus says, remember my death. He don't even care. We sometimes get more caught up on the birth of Christ. Instead, He's saying, remember my death. So when we're doing this, we're remembering that He died on the cross for our sins. And He's coming back again one day. And we're taking this and it reminds us, one, to live a life before Christ. It also lets you examine yourself. Am I born again? And if I'm not, this is a very simple thing. You come up here and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know what? What we're going to show you here this morning will actually be going on the inside of you. Because all this is an outward show, an illustration of what we got going on as believers. We've taken the blood of Christ, which covers our sins, and we've taken the body of Christ, which was shed and broken for our sins. Man, is that awesome? If we get two of you to turn in and take the cloth off of. If you would, if I could get y'all to a couple on this side and a couple on this side to disperse the bread. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for shedding your body upon Calvary's cross. We thank you for coming down out of heaven, being born a man, 100% man, 100% God, going to an old rugged cross and dying for our sins, shedding your body, breaking it, being broken for our sins. We thank you so much for that. Without that sacrifice, we have no hope of salvation, no way of getting in. Lord, we thank you for sacrificing your body for us in Jesus' name. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You can take of the bread. If you'll disperse the wine or the juice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your shed blood. It's for the atonement of sin. It's the covering of sin. Since the very beginning, when God had to slay the first animal to cover Adam and Eve for their sin, the remission of sin would be not, it wouldn't be taken away except for the shedding of blood. Lord, we remember today that you, the first drop of blood that fell at Calvary was the signal that our sins would be covered. And the reason we can stand before God in judgment is that we'd have the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us because He shed it at Calvary. Lord, we thank you so much for pouring your blood out upon us. We have a salvation that is very bloody. It took you. In Leviticus, we read about all the sacrifice, all the animals that were sacrificed over and over and over. It'd be a river of blood. But when you died upon that cross, that's all the blood it would take to save anyone who puts their trust and faith in you. And we thank you for that shed blood in Jesus' name. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. You may drink. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we had the opportunity to come and do this in remembrance of you because of this great sacrifice you've given us at Calvary. We can do all the things that I talked about earlier. We can feed the hungry. We can clothe the clotheless. We can do great ministries from this church, help the ones that are in prison. We can be the hands and feet of Christ. We can teach others. We can encourage others. Only for one reason and one reason only. Because you went to a cross and died for our sins. Your body was broken. Your blood was shed that we might have eternal life and that we might minister to other people that they can receive that same salvation. Lord, as a body of Christ here at Flat Top, we thank you for your sacrifice to us and let us be a living sacrifice unto you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And at this time, you can place your cups in the place in front of you, and you are dismissed. Come back and see us tonight. God bless.